All right, so Clay Olson is our speaker today in this breakout session. He is a passionate filmmaker, marketer, entrepreneur, born and raised in Northern Utah. Over the years, he's been part of starting several successful companies, ranging from film, advertising, interior design, and nonprofits. He finds the most fulfillment in helping others, which is why he left a growing company and co-founded Fight the New Drug with a few like-minded friends. Since then, they've been featured on ABC Nighttime, ABC News, CNN, and the Dr. Drew Show. Clay has presented to over 300 schools and tens of thousands of teens all over the country. He believes education is the most powerful weapon to combat the influence of pornography in our society. I've sat through a few of Clay's presentations, and I always leave feeling grateful that I was in attendance. So you are in for a treat, and I'm going to go ahead and turn the time over to Clay.
Can you hear me? You hear me okay? Decently? Oh, well, okay. All right. Thank you guys for attending this. We just kind of got out. Turkey? I don't know. Anything. Okay. So we got a lot to get through and only a few hours to get through it. So we're going to dive in. I really do wish we had that kind of time, but we don't. Now we're going to be talking, if you're in the wrong room, we're going to be talking about kind of helping teens find steps toward recovery. So we're going to be talking about kind of what we're learning from that, okay? So we're just going to let people trickle in and we're going to just dive, okay? So you have so much to talk about. Now, how many of you have ever heard of Fight the New Drug? Anybody?
Okay, cool.
How many of you have heard of the Fortify program? Anybody? Okay, so the Fortify program, and I'm just going to kind of walk and talk, if that's okay. The Fortify program was built based on the idea that thousands of teens were contacting us looking for help and they didn't have anywhere to turn because all the resources that were available to them required parental consent or a credit card or both. And that was just a Mount Everest that they couldn't climb. So we'll talk about what we're learning from that. See, this is an example of an email that we received at our organization. And we get, again, thousands and thousands of these. This kid, age 15, said, "Please help me. I am having huge problems. I don't know what to do. I am afraid to talk to my parents. Please help me." This kid said, "My life has been hijacked by pornography. Please, 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 please help me get my life back and start a new life. I don't know where else to turn. I have had suicidal thoughts as a result of this." We actually see that quite often. Young kids having suicidal thoughts based off of their addiction to pornography, which is kind of extremely disturbing. One thing we need to do right on the onset, right as we kind of dive into this, is that we often use in our culture and our society, we use the term addiction a little too freely. A lot of people, I get parents calling me saying, "Oh, you know, help me, my kid's addicted. He's seen pornography twice now, and he's addicted. Man, he's a lost cause." And I'm like, okay, not addicted, perhaps the early stages of forming a habit, but definitely not addiction. And so there's kind of different layers and nuances, and I think it's important to understand this so that we don't over kind of self-diagnose ourselves or overuse the term addiction, because for some people that can be a quite damaging term to associate with and kind of say, "I have an addiction." Some are having addictions and others are having bad habits, obsessions, compulsions, or addictions. And regardless of where you fall in that spectrum, whether it's a habitual or obsession or a compulsive positioning or place on that spectrum, or you're dealing with an actual full-blown addiction, all of what we're going to talk about for the rest of the presentation applies. Okay? So it doesn't matter. I just want you to understand that not everybody that has looked at this or looks at this, you know, I had one girl say, "I'm an addict. I look at it probably once a year." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." Overusing, self-diagnosing that term addiction. But nonetheless, everything we're going to talk about applies to wherever you sit on the spectrum. Because for that girl that looked at it once a year, that was problematic for her, and she was looking for recovery and over that. Here's a few more emails talking about the kind of the harms of what this is leading to. Thank you. I've noticed when I look at porn, I'm immediately more angry for nothing. I get a short fuse. I don't enjoy things as much, which means I don't have any real interest in most things. We're seeing that across the board. I was not the same person I was before I started using. I became more antisocial, reserved, less approachable, and always felt moody. We're seeing that a lot as well. So we can kind of start to see the impacts of pornography on individuals. I was using porn to numb painful feelings of shame and depression, but it also numbed all my good feelings. I eventually started having suicidal thoughts. Again, back to that suicidal tendency or interest. So we created the Fortify program. At first, we were fighting the drug was the awareness campaign. We were just wanting to be the megaphone, right? Saying like, it's harmful, let's rally behind a new kind of love and all that stuff. But here we go, these kids were saying, I'm on board, I love it, I'm so down with the movement and the message, but I need help. I need something. And we were like, oh, that's okay. There's a whole slew of groups and organizations that are, you know, catered for that. But again, they still are, and they still have enormous amounts of help, and a lot of them are represented out here in the booth. Great groups and great organizations with great programs. But for an individual that does not have a credit card and does not have parental consent or does not dare get it, they're stuck. So as a society, we were basically saying, stay in your dark corner until it's a lot worse and you're older and you have a credit card. Then come talk to us and we'll get you the help you need. It was not okay. So we created the Fortify program with a team of professionals in neuroscience, psychology, and therapy. And we invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into the development of this program, which is found online. We do have a book version, but the online program is really what we patterned this after. And I want to show you just a clip of that to get you kind of aware of what that program is after I show you this slide. The program has grown significantly. Without putting a single penny into advertising, it has reached, you know, over 25,000 people in the short time that it's been live. 25,000 people are in the program today in over 100 countries worldwide. And so we are now putting enormous amounts of new resources into making this multilingual and expanding the program significantly. We're seeing a lot of great results from the program. 84% reduction in depression symptoms. For those of you that know addiction, know that depression is a major contributor to addictive behaviors. And so to see that reduction is very encouraging. We're seeing in the most recent surveys that we sent out and the studies that we've done on longitudinal results is that we're actually finding a 94% reduction in pornography use in general, which is an enormous, and that's an average overall. Most of them actually report zero use at all when they conclude. And a 95% of users think that this is leading them toward long-lasting freedom. So we're very pleased with the results, but we're learning an enormous amount from that amount of people going through the program. And we want to share that with you. But so now I want to show you this video kind of introducing the program.
Welcome to the Fortify program. We're glad you're here. Fortify is a web-based program developed by professionals that uses the brain science behind pornography addiction to help you find your path to freedom. Through a series of more than 50 dynamic videos, we'll dive into how and why addiction happens, show you how to break out of the addiction cycle, and explore strategies to get to the root of the problem to achieve long-lasting freedom. All along the way, you'll be developing your own battle strategies customized to your personal needs and challenges. You'll become your step-by-step guide to gain control of your life for good. You'll also have access to your very own battle tracker, which will help you visualize your improvements. You see, after receiving thousands of emails from struggling teens, we were determined to create a program that is accessible to young people at no cost. In order to do that, we have also created an adult version of the Fortify program to meet the needs of young adults and not so young adults. Thanks to their sponsorships, we are able to offer the Fortify program for free to anyone 20 years old and younger. It's a win-win. Adults can give back and help a struggling teen go through this program for free while still getting the help that they need. Whether you're a teen or an adult or someone who works with individuals dealing with this issue, we're glad you're here. Sign up now, and let's fight this together.
So that's the program that we launched just over a year ago, and again, we're seeing incredible responses from that. So throughout the presentation now, I want to give you 8 ways to help teens take steps toward recovery, okay? 8 ways to help teens take steps toward recovery, because those of you in this room are representing what we like to call either current accountability partners or potential accountability partners, okay? So we're going to talk about what it means to be a good accountability partner. Number one, help them be accountable, okay? Did you know that 98% of those that sign up for the Fortify program do not have any accountability, meaning they're coming to us on their own? We've even had 7- and 8-year-olds reach out wanting to sign up because they feel like they're addicted and their parents have no idea. Which we, legally, we can only accept them at 13, but with parental consent, we can't accept them in. But for 98%, so when we talk about in other meetings, perhaps you have religious meetings at your church, or you hear discussions around just how big of a problem this is, and so-and-so is struggling, and this and that, whatever, we are talking about the 2%. Because the 98% have not come out to anybody. They have not brought it up to anybody. They don't dare talk about it. When we talk about 25,000 plus users, we're talking about these are not people that are guided by their parents. These are not people that are forced by a therapist or a bishop or a pastor or whatever it is. These are people that are coming on their own because they're terrified if they don't get solve it or deal with it that they're gonna never be able to conquer this. So the problem is much wider, larger, more complex than we've ever even assumed. Now, I want to show you a quick clip. Within the program, now it's all video-based, within the program, one of the main objectives, I just told you that 98% enter in with no accountability. That's problematic. One of the main objectives of the program is to get them accountable, to get them to open up to a trusted adult, preferably a parent, somebody that they can talk to, somebody that's in their corner, somebody that loves them and wants them to succeed. And so we have, throughout the program, kind of put in several moments where we're kind of massaging the concept and giving them reasons why it's important and how powerful it can be, to the point where we even give them, at one point, a script of like, you can't break the ice, here's what the conversation could look like, and we actually script it out for them if they need it. And then if they can't even do that, we've created a video for them to break the ice for them that they can send out as kind of like the icebreaker if necessary. We hope it doesn't come to it, but we've created it for them just in case. Now, because you are the accountability partners that would in fact possibly receive this video, I wanted to have you see a portion of that video. Here it is.
An emotional reaction rather than a thoughtful response will likely cause more damage in an already sensitive situation.
So again, this is talking to you guys.
They have come to you for help, what will you do? Well, here are 3 tips to carry out right now. Number 1, breathe. Okay, take a minute. A knee-jerk reaction to this issue can add fuel to the fire of rebellion and shame. It's going to be okay. If you can successfully separate this person you care about from their addiction, you will start to see a clearer path toward helping them. Number 2, listen. Pornography addiction is usually a symptom of a larger problem. Listening to them will allow them to feel understood while at the same time strengthening your relationship. This provides you the time to gather the facts and will help you with your response. Number 3, help. They need you. They need to know that you're on their side and you're willing to fight this thing together. Ask them what they're specifically planning on doing to stop viewing pornography and how you can help to make that happen. Help them be accountable.
Okay, so I think that it's important to kind of recognize that they are going to be coming to you and that you need to be in a position that you can address it. Many of us, as this was referencing, many of us, how many of you, without raising hands, you don't have to raise your hand, had an experience where you either caught a child doing something that you didn't want them to do, or that they came to you with something and you feel like you responded perhaps less than in an ideal way? I think a lot of us fit into that category, right? We kind of respond perhaps because it's our flesh and blood in the cases of a parent-child. And we don't want them to do that, and so perhaps we respond with anger or disappointment or, you know, adding to that fuel of shame and guilt rather than love and support and understanding, right? And so it's an incredibly important position to be in, and we need to make sure that we respond in a better way in the future. The opposite of addiction is not sobriety, but it's human connection. So the importance of having someone to talk to about this is paramount in anybody's recovery process, especially you. I feel like, this is a quote from a teen, I feel like I have help where I had no one and had no idea how to go about trying to quit my addiction. I now have people in my corner cheering me on, and that's really encouraging and motivating. Having accountability was, for me, the step that decided whether this addiction would continue through the rest of my life or end now. I realized that it was the only way out. The next day, I talked to my dad, and I felt hope for my recovery. Awesome, right? Awesome. Number two, help them find hope, okay? Help them find hope. Now, you need to help them understand that they are not their addiction or their bad habit or their compulsion. They are not their addiction. Oftentimes, we associate our behaviors with ourselves. We say, like, I am a bad person. I am broken. I am doomed based off of what I've done. As a parent, as an accountability partner, you come in and help them understand that that is something that they are struggling with, but they are not their addiction. A good friend of mine named Vinny. Vinny dealt with a lot of struggles in his life. One of them, pornography addiction. It led him to do some things that he has regretted and still to this day regrets. And he ended up actually serving a long-term prison sentence based off of some actions that he had done that stemmed from his addiction to pornography. When he got out, of course, a lot of emotions of broken, I'm no good. He lost his family, he lost his job, he lost everything, and starting over, and he was just a bad person. And I remember him telling me a story. This is years later. He told me a story where he was going through some old photos, and he found this photo of himself when he was a little kid, and he just burst into tears because he realized in that moment that he was still that innocent boy, that everything that he had done, all the mistakes, all the bad choices were things that he struggled with, but he himself, his core, was still this innocent, young, good boy. And I think that's so incredible. It was like an epiphany for him. And since that moment, he has been able to kind of go out, and he is now speaking and helping and assisting. And he went and got his master's degree in therapy, and he is now treating people with the same struggles that he had at one point and changing lives, all after that moment of realizing that he was still a good person. Help them understand that they are not their addiction. The change is absolutely 1,000% possible. Remove shame, guilt, and judgment. Don't let that fuel kind of your interactions. And they're going to feel a lot of that on their own without your help. Help them remove it so that they can have a clearer path toward recovery and long-lasting freedom. I feel hope that I can be free from my addiction. It is as if the sun started shining through the rain clouds for the first time in a decade. That hope is powerful. That hope can be the game changer for so many. I'm clinging to all the hope I can find. It's important. So help, as an accountability partner, help them find that. Number three, help them understand. This is important. Give them context. Okay? Oftentimes when we say don't do something, what are we saying? We say don't do it because I said so. If you actually look at recent polls with the millennial generation, do you know that trust is at an all-time low regarding many different things? In fact, all the things that they surveyed, all the categories that they surveyed, including church, including government, when it comes to the millennial generation today, they only trusted two things, which is lower than any other generation since they started recording this back in the 70s. Two things they trusted. One was the military, and two was science. So if we're going to be addressing this subject and we're going to be talking to this with this generation, we need to do it with their language. And talk about science. Talk about the research that we now know. Science has now caught up with truth. We now know that pornography is impacting our brain, our heart, and our world. So basically, our individual self, our relationships, and our society. They need to understand that context and how it wasn't always that way. How we as a society have evolved to this sexualized and pornified society and culture. And how those things that they are viewing on pornography, what many youth are using as their sexual education, Google, how that is not okay and not healthy and not in any way healthy. Help them understand. We didn't always know what we now know today. There's a lot of things that we've learned the hard way. I shared this in my last presentation. Some of you were there in my last presentation, but many of you weren't. So let's talk about this. There's a lot of things, right? Everything from telling mothers that they should drink more alcohol so that the benefits would pass through their body and onto the nursing child. Oops. We told young kids to take cocaine toothache drops so to ease the pain of a toothache. Yeah, it's going to do that. It's going to do a lot more than that. They're going to forget everything. So, so cocaine toothache drops. And again, we learned, back in the day, we used to prescribe smoking tobacco as a way to soothe the nerves and clean out the lungs. Oops, right? Our society, our history, we have learned the hard way a lot of different times with a lot of different things. Science has to catch up with truth in every situation. Science has to catch up with truth. And then society often lags behind that. If we look at what's happening with the tobacco industry, Dr. Raymond Pearl in 1938 was the first guy to discover that there was a correlation between lung cancer and smoking tobacco. 1938, but it wasn't until the 80s that the Surgeon General of America finally came out and claimed it to be addictive. We're talking about enormous kind of, society lags behind science in almost every case, and we're in that same situation today regarding this topic. So help youth get on board. Help youth get a context as to where we're at and what's really going on and what are the harms. This kid said, learning the science behind it has really helped me to not give up hope. Also, when I do have setbacks, which we call kind of like falling back into the addiction, I have more motivation to get back up. Number four, help them find reasons to fight, anchors, reasons to kind of, what do they love more than porn? What holds their loyalties more than porn? I want to show you a quick clip about this from the Fortify program. So this is a video from the Fortify program. There's over 55 videos within the program discussing a lot of different factors. This one is speaking about anchors. Check it out.
If an addiction goes on long enough, pornography begins to infiltrate and compromise even our own heart, our core center place. It's now time to start talking about something even bigger than addiction. Think back to the last moment when you used. What was happening? Really happening then. For many of us, in that moment, we decided the only thing that mattered was feeling good right then and there. Everything else, previous commitments, other people, other needs, were temporarily ignored. The only thing we cared about more than anything else was how we felt right then. In a way, even if you hate this addiction, on some level, the pornography reflects something you wanted and chose in that moment. In those moments where you use, you want pornography's brush more than anything else. You see, pornography addiction is far more than just a behavior to stop. It goes way beyond that. The problem is that pornography hijacks our desires and the very things that motivate us. And because of this, ultimately, your desire to change must be more powerful than your desire for pornography. Let's say that one more time. Your desire to change must be more powerful than your desire for pornography. It may take a while before that desire for freedom is strong enough on a consistent basis to overcome this addiction. In the meantime, you will need an anchor, something to hold you steady through the raging storm. Is there something, anything, that holds your loyalty stronger than porn? One guy we know struggled with pornography addiction for years. In his moment of greatest desperation and desire to change, he shattered his computer monitor with a sledgehammer. In a box with the broken pieces of his computer, he left a note for his wife, simply stating, "I love you more." No, we're not asking you to sledgehammer your computer. We're simply asking you this. Is there anything you love more? Is there something or someone in your life that you love more than those videos, those images, those messages? What or who is it? It is possible to become so fixed and set on getting away from pornography that we forget or ignore the very things and people in our life that we love more. What if we decide we're not going to ignore them anymore? What if they became anchors for us in this fight? Most anchors fall into one of three different categories: people, passions, or purpose. Let's talk about people first. This refers to those in your life that you feel are threatened by your addiction, such as a girlfriend, boyfriend, a close friend, your family, or even your future family. The guy who smashed his computer realized that his wife was more important to him than his pornography addiction, and therefore his wife was an anchor for him. We talked about passions when we taught you about STAR. You know, these are activities or ideas that make us tick, things that we truly love doing or pursuing. The more we work on our passions, the happier we become. As many of you know, addictions have a funny way of getting in the way of our true passions. That is why passions can act as an anchor for us. They can counteract the power of an urge when we're not willing to give up what we're doing or working on to satisfy our pornography addiction. Purpose is something we all strive to find in our lives. Without it, we feel lost, and the slightest breeze can sway us off course. And some find purpose in the idea that they want to be a good spouse and parent one day. Others want to be a good example for their peers. Many find purpose in their religious beliefs. You know, whatever your purpose is, know this. Addiction is the enemy to true purpose. They cannot coexist. Identifying your purpose or desired purpose can serve as an anchor for when you compare the temporary gratification you get when using porn to what you feel deep down is your true purpose in life. We recommend that you find at least one anchor in each of these categories: people, passions, and purpose, and write them down. This will serve as a reminder to you when things get tough. So if you want to purge pornography from your life, what will take its place? In the moments when you're bored or lonely or tired or frustrated or anxious, where will you turn besides pornography? If we can't answer these kinds of questions, it's going to be that much harder to really become free. When it gets difficult, remember, this is a real war. And the place where the true battle is happening is your own heart and mind. Once again, it's not enough to just reject pornography. You need something to hold on to, something or someone to anchor you. It's time to take command of your own heart and reassert your deeper desires. It's time to practice loving something or someone else more than pornography.
So anchors, the importance of anchors. One kid said, there are some times where giving in seems really easy, but I'm able to look at my life and say that I have bigger and better things going on in my life than porn. So it's important. Okay, number five. I think we're running out of time here. Help them find patterns. Okay? Patterns are critical. And I don't have time to show this video, but this video talks about the importance of kind of finding patterns in your behaviors. I sat down with my uncle, who was an alcoholic, and he's been going for 8 years straight every single day to AA, to a meeting. And they talk about patterns within those meetings, at least their meetings. They talk about patterns and kind of what was the most common setback trend and whatnot. And so we have created an online program, but people are doing this with or without the online tool. So people have kind of created their own calendars. But to help them understand what this is, we've created a tool online where it's a daily tracking tool. And now it's an app that they can track their daily behaviors. They can track a victory or a setback or possibly multiple setbacks. And when they record a setback, they also then record what mood they were in. what device they were using, where it was, and what time of day it was. And then that information is then aggregated to then help them start to recognize some of these trends. You know what? Saturday night when I'm bored and I have my cell phone at my house, that apparently, according to the data, is my most vulnerable position. And so I'm going to work to fortify myself against putting myself in that kind of a situation. This information, this data, this tool is helping individuals, regardless if you use this tool or just whatever you use to help recognize patterns, it is powerful. It is very powerful in helping them overcome their behaviors. Before, I would have a setback and try to forget about it. Now, I track my setbacks and can see the progress I am making. We have fortifiers that take screenshots of their months, and they're all green. Every day is green for victories, and they just like send them to us and say, like, 30 days strong, 60 days strong, 90 days strong, and it's really awesome to see them kind of rally behind that. This helped me identify the areas that caused setbacks and showed me where I was vulnerable. I now isolated when, where, and how things happened, and I'm trying to change it. Number 6, help them create a plan. A plan to move forward. This is critical. I want to show you a quick video. Do anyone have the time? How much time do I have? 6 minutes, you said? Okay, so we're going to show this video. I'm just going to go with it. And this is kind of about creating a plan.
We are human. Sometimes we feel like we can only take a certain amount of temptation before we give in. And that's why it's crucial to secure your home base, so that it's a source of strength instead of a place of danger and vulnerability. This is another sense of the word fortify: to strengthen and secure a place with reinforcements. When a fortress has a point of weakness, a place where it's easy to attack, new walls are built. For those fighters serious about victory, creating a sanctuary is essential for a successful recovery. By placing your fortress on a hill, gravity will be your comrade as the opponent stumbles up the slope, exhausted before he can reach you. So let's talk about your own home base. Has it been infiltrated by pornography so far? If so, how? Make a list of ways that pornography is accessible in your own home and the different channels through which it has entered in the past. Whether that's cable TV, DVDs, tablets, cell phones, gaming devices, home computers, laptops, books, magazines. By listing them out, you'll have a better sense of what areas of your home need the most fortification. Let's start with TV and movies. Whether it's HBO or standard cable, you can find a lot of programming that can lead you to using pornography. It doesn't have to be hardcore pornography to trigger a release of chemicals in your brain. All it takes is a few seconds of arousing content to set you on the path down into the addiction cycle. Think back to the moments after watching television or watching a certain type of movie when you felt most vulnerable. Can you start to notice specific things that you saw that made you start to entertain the idea of using? What about the internet, porn's favorite playground? This is most likely where the majority of us fall, right? Getting us to stumble across pornography online is where the porn industry focuses most of its energy. And they're pretty good at it, aren't they? Whether it's an endless series of pop-up windows, email spam, relentless advertisements, stealth sites, porn sites with seemingly harmless URLs, or chat rooms, the porn industry knows exactly what they're doing in their efforts to get you hooked. So rather than fall victim to these cunning attempts, we suggest you draw a kind of firewall between you and pornography. If there's a certain news page or website that is almost always a precursor to your using, add it to the filter. Make some hard choices. ESPN instead of Sports Illustrated. NBC instead of HBO. Maybe for you, it's not visiting YouTube for the time being. One person we know wanted to stop her habit of sexualized chatting, so she removed the chatting software from her computer and blocked the sites. If you have a vulnerability to pornography and you spend lots of time wandering the web, before you know it, you're going to get exposed to pornographic material. So, what can you do instead? Well, how about this? When you go online, have a mental list of goals or errands to accomplish and a certain time frame for each. We call this carousing with a purpose. Maybe the list is check Facebook, of course. Check your email. write a school paper, check out your favorite band's new music video, and blog about your cat's new sweater vest. Stick to it, then log off. The second you veer off course, you're setting yourself up for a setback. Apply the zero tolerance mindset and stick to that list. Sometimes it requires actually installing software that will filter the internet and keep your computer safe from inappropriate content. True filtering is difficult to achieve without the assistance from someone else in your home to whom you can be accountable. You might have to work with others on keeping the filters bulletproof. It would be best if you can get the help from someone who lives with you in doing this, if you feel comfortable. If not, you can at least secure your own room. If that alone isn't doing the trick, a foolproof tactic would be to disconnect from any media sources that provide temptation and get rid of the internet for the time being. We know it's kind of hard to believe, but people have been known to survive without it. During this media detox, only allow yourself to access the web if necessary and in public areas, such as the city library or a school computer lab. Realize that the issue of securing your home base is more than the issue of technology. We need to also surround ourselves with pictures, music, and literature that will inspire positive, uplifting thoughts. You have a choice in how safe you want your home environment to be. It would be easy to make a half-hearted effort, but we challenge you to be brutally honest with yourself about your home turf vulnerabilities. Think of this as similar to having a broken door at home, knowing that not only does someone want to attack you, but also that it has happened before, over and over. How committed are you to fixing that door and installing deadbolts? We may have to be bold in our efforts and rally whatever resources are needed to keep pornography from infiltrating our home if we really want to have a safe haven. Are you willing? How about smaller things? Are you willing to put a filter on your computer? What about moving the computer to another more public part of the home? Are you willing to get rid of songs or videos, take down pictures, or throw out movies? You can do it. And remember, for fighters serious about victory, securing your home base is not a luxury. It's crucial, and possibly the difference between freedom and captivity.
So that was talking specifically about securing your home base, which is just one aspect of creating a plan. Throughout the Fortify program, we explore multiple and several areas in which we're kind of developing, and they are personally creating their own plan so that when those moments of vulnerability come up, when the urge arises, when they find themselves in that vulnerable position, they have a plan to get out of that. I really needed clear steps and tools, not just warm fuzzies. And so developing that clear steps and that clear plan for them is critical. Number 7, help them identify root contributors. Okay, throughout the Fortify program, we often, when we're addressing this, we often kind of nip at the branches, which is an important part of this. We nip at the branches. And I would say that the battle tracker, which is kind of that tool to recognize behaviors and the patterns, is a tool to help look at the branches, the behaviors. But if we're serious about helping them overcome addiction, we need to look at the root contributors, the things that are kind of maybe setting ourselves up for addictive behaviors in the first place. And many times, we don't connect the dots, that they're even correlated or associated. So throughout the Fortify program, we look into that. We help them identify possible root contributors, which can be possibly past challenges, bad habits, other habits, physical health, mental health, lack of purpose, family relationships, overall connection to others, stress and anxiety levels, self-esteem, big changes in life, and others. These areas, as we dig into them, can actually be contributing to addictive behavior. So addressing those and acknowledging some of those areas can help that, individuals overcome that. This individual said, "It has been very helpful to know that I have to improve certain things in other areas of my life in order to strike back at pornography." So not just looking at pornography itself. As I began to understand the roots of my vulnerability, I was able to get a closer look at them and make changes. Not only did that help me escape addiction, but it also improved my quality of life. This has been the single most important factor for me. It has helped me realize that I need to create an awesome life, not just to avoid pornography. Interesting. And 8, the final one, is help them rise and rise again. help them rise and rise again. We need to recognize that setbacks will happen. Period. A lot of people trying to overcome something like pornography kind of have this white knuckle approach. Never again. Not going to happen. And then they go and they're like, you know, a month strong or, you know, a few weeks strong, whatever it is. And then they have a setback and then they are immediately, well, I tried. I'm broken. My brain's rewired. I'm stuck. You know, might as well not even try. And that leads to a binging process that individuals find themselves in. And then later on, in a moment of kind of courage and strength, they kind of recommit and say, never again, and they go back into it. This can be, some people have accomplished full freedom with just kind of a single moment of declaration, but most individuals trying to overcome this, it is a process, and it takes time, and you, as accountability partners, need to recognize this, because when they come to you, and they say, darn it, I fell again. Darn it, this happened. Rather than saying, well, good glory. I thought we talked about this. I thought you were like going to do this time. What happened? Well, you know, what's wrong with you? Rather than that approach, you say, that's okay. What did we learn from it? How did it lead to that? Okay, so what are we going to do next time that this comes up? You're okay. You're not your addiction. And motivating them to kind of say, you're right. I'm stronger than this. I'm going to learn from this and overcome it. Setbacks happen. I still have occasional setbacks, but it's easier for me to bounce back and keep moving forward rather than backward. I'm doing great. I just had a two-month-long stretch of victories. Unfortunately, it ended the other day, but as opposed to focusing on that like I used to do, I talked to one of my accountability partners, and I'm in a good place today, in a good place, and ready to surpass my previous streak. I couldn't have written that better. That was a perfect quote. You know what? I was doing good. Unfortunately, I fell back, but that's okay. I talked to my accountability partner, and boom, we're in a better direction. Perfect. This is what a recovery looks like. That's what real recovery looks like. So as an accountability partner, you need to be ready. Don't add to the fuel of shame and guilt and kind of and difficulty to this. Add to the uplifting and motivating piece of this. If necessary, as the accountability partner, you might come in contact with individuals that are struggling on such a level that they need professional help, something that goes far beyond what the Fortify program can offer. In those cases, you need to help them get into those doors. If they experience severe depression, if they physically harm themselves, if they continually express a lack of hope for recovery, to kind of, continually in exaggerated ways. If they experience heavy mood swings, and if they express suicidal thoughts, these are all reasons to perhaps look at getting a professional involved. But the Fortify program can help in many ways. So let's recap. Number one, help them be accountable. Number two, help them find hope. Number three, help them understand. Four, help them find reasons to fight. Five, help them find patterns. Six, help them create a plan to move forward. Seven, help them identify root contributors. And eight, help them rise and rise again. We have seen thousands of young people kick this and get past it. Thousands of adults. We have an adult program as well, and thousands of adults have kicked this and moved past it. It is possible. It requires the right approach. And whether you use a tool like the Fortify program or other tools or other programs or just your own kind of whatever it is, help them do the following. Be an assistant in these areas and you will find results that perhaps differ from your previous efforts. I'm so grateful that this room is so full of people that are concerned with those that they are associated with, whether that is your own child or someone that you oversee or work with. We collectively can do something about this. We can be better about addressing this challenge and addressing this issue in our community and in our homes. And I appreciate the time that you've given me, and that's all I have. Thank you so much.